Seek to Understand, a podcast about holistic wellness and a bunch of other stuff, coming from humans with experience and shower thoughts. Not intended to serve as medical advice or treatment. We want to help you understand your why. Brought to you by Kelly Cash, Neva Wilkerson, and Brandon Johnson. Here we go.
Getting in shape can be hard. Finding time to drive all the way to the gym with everything else going on can be daunting, but it is super important. That's why my wife Trista and I have developed Fit From Home. Now you can get strong from the comfort of your own home. You need very little equipment and about 30 minutes of your time. You work out directly with us as we give you options for each exercise. You get access to daily workouts, informational presentations, and epic bonus workouts. You also get access to a private Facebook group full of people sharing a common goal. All of this for just $16 a month. Go to changeinmotionpt.com and click the Fit From Home link to sign up today.
So what are we talking about today? Mindfulness? How to do it? Last time we told you to do it, now we're going to tell you how to do it.
Mindfulness part 2 or 2.0.
Yeah.
Because we talked about what it was, but now we should probably talk about how do you do it.
Yeah, what do you do with that information? Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it starts at the very beginning of the day. It starts at the very beginning of the day, and it ends at the end of the day. So, because you know, it's the thing about the society we live in. A lot of us work so early that our alarm goes off and we jump out of bed and we rush to do the things we have to do, and then we're at our job that you may not enjoy, and then you're doing the things that you're told to do, and then you go home and do the things that you have to do for other people, and then you consume what is most likely garbage, whether that be in your diet or through your eyes and ears, and then you go to bed trying aimlessly to fall asleep, maybe with a pharmaceutical drug, and you wake up the next day and you do it all over again.
And again, and again.
And there are a lot of opportunities in that day to be mindful of the decisions you make, and it literally starts at the very beginning of the day, like before your feet hit the floor kind of thing.
It takes a lot of effort and a lot of energy to be present in the moment.
It does. Amen.
But I think it's so worth it because, you know, if I can start my day just waking up and saying, you know, thank you, God, for this day, or some sort of positive intention of any kind that you can set for your day seems to really help. And then I've heard you talk about a lot sort of checking in with your body.
I was going to say, then I do it with the body, too. So, you know, just start roll over. I'm a side sleeper, tucked in a ball, fighting off the world, you know, hunched over. Roll over on your back. Take some deep breaths. Wiggle, move. What feels good? What feels tight? And then do some stretching before you ever get out of bed and just pay attention. And then, so I do it that way. And then I, you know, thank you, Lord, that I can move my legs today, you know, and go from there. And I always call it stacking, to figure out ways during the day that you can add these little things into your life without having to stop and add it as a to-do list, you know. So mindfulness should not be another task that you have to do throughout the day. Yeah, it should become a habit. Right. And the more you do it, so now it's just routine for me.
It's just a muscle.
Yeah, it's just a routine for me to just go, wow, every time I watch this one podcast, I get really excited.
Yeah.
Or, oh, every time this name comes up, I tense up. So mindfulness means avoid that name, you know, or every time I eat this food, I have energy and I'm excited and I can move and I feel really good and I have a bowel movement the next morning and I'm just great. If I eat these foods, then, oh, I feel sluggish. I feel tired. I feel brain dead.
So paying attention. Yeah. Like we talk about all the time to what's going on.
Yeah. And so mindfulness is, how is your body physically responding to external stimuli all the time? And you will pick up on things really quickly.
Physically, but also mentally. I mean, you just mentioned, how does that elicit, you know, you hear a name or whatever it may be, what response does that elicit and why? Dig deeper. Why does it make you feel that way?
And it could be something very simple, because I wish I could tell you the name of the song that comes on. It's a very popular country song. And every single time it comes on the radio, I say to my husband, you know, I hate this song. And it's, I like the lyrics, but there is the background music. It's like in the background. And every time it does it, I'm not kidding, I just cringe. And I'm like, I cannot listen to this. And so paying attention to the background clutter. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So then he just, you know, he quiets it down or he changes channels until that song's over. So it can be something as simple as that. And it's like, why? I'm like, I like the lyrics, but who chose the background music?
Mm-hmm. Awful. Well, you kind of touched on something interesting that we could talk about mindfulness with likes and dislikes. If you dislike something, have you thought about why? Are you mindful of why? If you like something, are you mindful of why? And it's just, again, that kind of making that part of your daily practice will, again, like, what is it? It's why, dudes. It's why, right? It's always why. Why do I feel that? Why do I feel that? And you shouldn't think that thought to death because you can. And sometimes the why is unexplained. But most of the time, if you're willing to pay attention, it's right in front of you. You're just in your own way with all the clutter.
But with that being said, too, to understand that sometimes the reason that we don't do this is the subconsciousness that we don't want to address the why because we don't want to feel the feelings. We don't want to feel the emotions. Definitely. Because we know those emotions are not going to be happy and excited and, you know,
maybe hard, really
they
hard.
May be hard and they may elicit a response within you that you don't want to deal with. And so mindfulness is also recognizing the things that are important to go ahead and tackle head on right now. You got to do it right now. So I got to not eat the pizza today. Mm-hmm. That's something of immediate. But if it's something that you elicited, you know, like if the song that I was talking about earlier was something that brought up an emotion because when I broke up with my boyfriend or at somebody, there are several, you know, at a funeral or something like that, that makes me sad, you know, maybe sometime later I need to go back and address that emotion to get over that. And so also being mindful of recognizing when is it appropriate to tackle it and when is it appropriate just to note it and mm-hmm. recognize it's there and to let yourself off the hook for that moment.
Because our brain does that really well, makes those associations or ties, like you said, especially songs. You know, our limbic system in our brain is responsible for most of our memories. And so smells are processed in the limbic system. And so smells can trigger things.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one reason they tell you to make chocolate chip cookies if you're trying to sell your house before you do an open house, because when you walk in, you want to smell grandma's house.
Yeah, cinnamon apparently is a smell that sells things, so they pipe that into clothing stores, or if you notice around the holidays that cinnamon is around.
Interesting. I didn't know that about cinnamon. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah, so
I do love cinnamon, though.
I do, too.
I do, too. Mm-hmm. But if you notice you're buying more things, then maybe it's because...
Oh, that's not a problem for me. That's not a problem for me.
They're piping cinnamon through the vents. Yeah. What was that store that was in the mall that they used to pipe the cologne through? Oh, it was awful.
Hollister or Abercrombie & Fitch?
I think it was probably Abercrombie. Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't even know how those workers worked in that environment.
I had a buddy that worked in there, and he always... I mean, you know... It's a somewhat pleasant smell in a small dose.
Yeah.
But
when you're
there's no such thing as a small dose in the mall, in the store. Yeah.
So anyway.
I think all of these things, but so how do you do this?
Yeah. So we talked about early in the morning, just some easy things. You know, so then you get ready for your day. And you just pay attention.
Any part of your getting ready for your day involves you playing on Facebook, that's a really great place to start.
Just or you're
put it down.
Or you're ending your day on Facebook.
Anytime, yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have.
Yeah.
Because it's addicting, and it takes you out of a mindful state completely. I think anything on your device, right?
Yep.
Maybe. My TV shows, my cartoons. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they're there for. And sometimes there is a time and a place to be able to, we've talked about that, to be able to check out. But if that is your day, then you're never going to be able to make any progress. So if like I said, you know, I would make it a point not to get on any kind of social media or consume any media. So folks, you don't need the news.
How do you break that habit, though? Because, I mean, it does become so easy. I mean, I try really hard. And unfortunately, because you don't have a... And I truly believe that you should not have your cell phone next to your bed because of all the EMFs that's being put off and all of those kind of things. But unfortunately...
Hold on. Don't blow over that. Go back to that. You don't like having your phone next to your bed. Why?
Because it's unhealthy for you.
Okay, why?
Because of all of the negative energies and the energy forces that are around you. And it's the blue lights and all of those things. Right. So it's constantly... It's the same thing. Like, you should not be wearing your Fitbit to bed to track your sleep. Mm-hmm. There are lots of studies out there about that, about how it
the messes electromagnetic the electromagnetic fields,
fields how they mess with you.
Well, my watch does not like us talking about technology. Holy smokes.
Here I am. Can I help
Folks,
you?
Folks, my watch just talked to me. I can't get this thing to talk to me when I want it to, and it just came out of nowhere. They're listening. It's like,
don't you all be out there bashing me on social media.
Listening. Yeah. You are part of the problem.
You know, but so it's difficult to change that habit because of the fact that I don't have a landline. I have an elderly family member. I have a grandbaby. I have two
my
children.
My alarm is on my phone.
Yeah, and so how do you... not spontaneously roll over and grab it to look at it when you're trying to. So that is, it's a hard struggle to be mindful
sometimes.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
And the other thing is, with me and the social media, is understanding, again, going back to the why do I want to grab it? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to avoid? Mm-hmm. What am I trying to not do? What am I not doing? Why do I want to reach for social media? And then I can be the first one to tell you, I can physically feel myself becoming depressed and anxious by scrolling through social media.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And all of our youngsters, like my 14-year-old daughter, would tell us that Facebook is for old people. I'm fine with that. We're all old people. It's all relative.
Is it TikTok now? Is that what it is? TikTok?
I don't know what they do.
Mind you, TikTok.
They're really not my kids aren't really allowed to be on social media. I tell them when they're 18 and they're adults, they can make that decision.
Yep.
I think there's all kinds of studies out there that show that their brains, I mean, we know how it affects our brains and we can get sucked into that trap so easily. There's lots of studies that show that social media is just negative for kids. There's nothing good that comes out of it.
Well, the amount of suicide that has increased, the amount of suicide in especially teenage girls, that has gone up since Instagram. I think they like specifically linked it to Instagram.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to fight the battle with my four. Why, Mom? Everybody has Snapchat. Why can't I do it? Because
and then,
you're
so,
just not ready.
But then imagine the scenario, and this is a good why. I mean, it is a legitimate why. Imagine the scenario where you're telling them it's bad for your brain, it's unhealthy for you. And then what do they look over your shoulder and see
looking
you
at
doing?
It. Yeah, no kidding. Here we are.
Yeah. And... like that's what an example are we setting, or what example are we setting? I think that in a lot of ways, but I think that for me, I know that one's personal for me because we used to be so good about leaving our phones in the kitchen. Like, our phones wouldn't come in the living room with us at all. They stayed in the kitchen, and then something happens and I started a business that required me to do this or that, and then you know,
I need to check my email, or they make it too easy just to do everything right there on your phone, right? Yeah.
And meanwhile, my son, who is getting older and gonna be out of my house someday, is sitting right next to me and I'm a fucking oblivious.
Being mindful about what it's pulling you away from, but as a body worker, I go back to being mindful of how your body is responding to things, and then go dig a little bit deeper. And just being in tune. It's amazing to me as a body worker how many people have no clue.
Yeah.
Have no clue about where they are in space.
Not just how and why their body functions how it does, but
they have no
even where they are.
They have no idea. They have no idea that their head is literally turned to the right every time they talk to me. Or they have no idea that they constantly turn one foot in. Or a good one is on the massage table is I'll be talking to somebody about habits and then they cross their leg. As they're getting massage, I'm like, why are you crossing your leg? Well, I didn't realize I did. I'm like, you don't even know what you're doing when you're doing it, and you don't know why you're doing it. We are so, I said this in a previous podcast and I'll repeat it till our very last one. Robotic.
Everything's automatic.
We are on autopilot all the time.
Well, and you talked about reaching for your phone can be automatic. And
it is automatic.
You asked how. And I think that this is why we're ultimately here, because the how is not easy.
No.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll put my phone down because I don't look at my phone. I have an alarm clock. Maybe I'll put a mouse trap on top of my phone so when I go to grab it, it will smack me.
You know, there is like a thing about having rubber bands when you want a cigarette on your hand or whatever. Maybe that's the new thing.
Yeah.
Or it should be a glue trap.
Yeah. Oh, no. I have lost comforters. I've lost hair. I have lost.
With glue traps?
Oh, my God.
Well, that sounds like a story for another day. What's going on here? Do we need to talk about this?
I lived in the country and we had, when harvest came, house got full of mice. And so we would put mice traps in the house.
Did you put them on your pillow next to your bed while you're sleeping or something?
They were in the corner of my bedroom. And then I flipped the sheets or the bedspread one day. And lo and behold, new comforter in the mail the next day probably. Because you cannot get it off.
Nope, that stuff's not going anywhere.
No.
No, a poor rodent sticks to it. Disgusting.
Well, that's a whole nother body.
Yeah, we can talk about rodents later.
But anyway, the how is not easy because you have to, it just training. It's how do these extreme bodybuilders or these power lifters lift a car? They train for it. To us, it seems impossible, but they train for it and they eventually, ideally, succeed.
And we've talked about this on the last podcast about mindfulness and, many of them about starting small. Mm-hmm. Like when we talked about the feet, we talk about, I say don't go from being a shoe wearer for 50 years to being barefoot every day. I think the same thing is true for mindfulness. So start with something very small and so be very conscious of one thing. So is it that you're reaching for your phone immediately? So that's the first hurdle to become mindful. And then you can forget about the rest of the thing and just live your life and be robotic for the next, 8 hours of your day or whatever. And then be mindful again when you come home. Do you have it in your hand when you sit down? Are you trying to have dinner with your husband and your kids or whatever? Are you at the basketball game supposed to be paying attention to the game and instead you're looking on your phone? So just start with one thing. And if, I'm not going to lie, when I first started, part of it was my social media time and that thing. Yep. But if it's not that, if that's not your vice and you're not that person, what is it?
Yeah, maybe you're a snacker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you, do you want to lose weight? Do you want to change your body image? Do you want to feel better? So then be mindful and present with everything that you're eating. What am I eating? When am I eating it? How does it taste when I eat it? How does it smell? And then how do I feel? So start with one small task and say, okay, this month or this week, my goal is going to be mindful about social media.
There's a pretty good book out there called Atomic Habits. Have you read that? And that's essentially, the whole book of how to create better habits, and it is a lot of times just stacking those small things over and over and repetitiveness of it. So one of the rules that we instituted or I'm trying to institute in my house, again, trying to set a better example for my kids, don't take your phone in the bathroom. Like, number one, it's disgusting if you think about it. Your phone's in there and then it touches everything else. But my kids do it. My kids love to watch those YouTube shorts, which I also think are probably terrible for their brains.
They're different versions of TikTok.
It is. It's just fast. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's totally stimulating, probably in the wrong way. Yep. And so Evan said the other day, what am I going to do when I'm in the go to the bathroom? Yeah. And so I handed him a magazine, a conservation magazine.
Get a tennis ball and put it on your foot and play with it.
Yeah, so quit taking your phones in the bathroom, people. Everybody has them. It's disgusting. Yes, one of my kids called me for toilet paper the other day when they were in there, so I guess it worked out. But
okay, I'm going to have to come clean on air then because I was at a basketball game one time and my phone rang and I had to go to the bathroom. So I was actually in the school bathroom talking on the phone and Madison Gordon was in the stall next to me and she's dying laughing. So she's texting my daughter when you will not believe this. Of course, it's your mom talking on the phone.
Talking on the phone in the bathroom.
At the school. That's all gross.
I was looking for my phone the other day around the house and I told Jesse, I said, it was so much easier when our phones were attached to the wall. They weren't attached to us all the time.
Or when the original cell phone, it was attached, it was in a bag and it was attached to my cigarette lighter in my car.
Yeah, it didn't need to go everywhere.
Sorry, that just aged
me. You young bucks don't know nothing about that. Man, I remember that. We had one
the bag phone.
The bag phone, baby.
But I do think phones in a lot of ways have ruined us and probably made us way less mindful about everything and automatic. I read a quote the other day that said something to the effect of nothing that is important is that urgent or urgent. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is so true. Nothing that is really important is really that urgent.
Well, that's how they survived for so long. The best thing to play devil's advocate, I mean, we can now, though, learn anything we want.
Oh, absolutely. In
3 seconds. My favorite aspect of having a smartphone, can know where my son is, as long as the app works, 24/7.
Right.
And that is a humongous relief. I do not know how my mother survived sending me on road trips with my friend, having no clue, because I never called her from my cell phone when I got there. I just showed up, and then I came home, and she was like, okay, you made it. Cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could not do that. I don't think I could do that.
I'm you could. It's just we were accustomed to different things then.
It's one of those things I don't
want
to give up.
And I'm older than you guys, and so I struggle with what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's part of the problem. So this is going to veer off from our mindfulness people for just a second. It's a tangent. I don't think we should know where our kids are all the time.
I know, but I feel so good. I feel so
good. I know, but what you're doing is you're... Not what you're doing. I'm not blaming you. I'm not attacking you, Brandon. But
attack me.
But we complain that our kids don't know how to do anything and that they can't do anything themselves and they can't problem solve and they can't figure out. I can't tell you how many times I got stranded, flat tire, couldn't get home or something. I had to figure it out how to get home, and I had to figure out how to get a hold of my parents. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that took some challenges, and it took some jumping some ditches and running through some fields to get that done. But
and I would have a panic attack if
I just drove home on the rim, and that didn't end so well. Sorry, Mom and Dad.
But still, you learn that if you drive on the rim, not a good plan, Miss Kelly. So you learn something out of that experience. And so when we're constantly there protecting them, then we wonder how come can't go out and navigate the world by themselves. And so, and I get it, because the world is way scarier. Because back in my day, if an accident, you know, if I got pulled over, Lyle Ock would just say, hey, Neva, don't let me run into your mom at the grocery store before you get your little ass home. Mm-hmm. You know, and we didn't have those things, and we didn't have... Yes, we had the drug issue back in the 80s and the 70s, and when I was young, we had probably just as much, if not more. It was different drugs, and so we've always had the same problems, just in a different setting. But I think that my generation and your all's generation too still has some resiliency of how to problem solve, because we were never bailed out, because we could get on the phone and text somebody, or we could call somebody, or we could that. So. Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good point.
And one of the reasons I left school nursing, I mean, I loved being a school nurse and everything, but my children were at the high school age, and I really wanted to give them a little bit more independence, mm-hmm. because I'm in Centralia, I'm everywhere, I know everything, everybody knows me, so I knew everything, but I really wanted my kids to have some autonomy and not have me know everything that's going on. I really want to be... want my kids to be like I was. And when you're 22 and you're having Thanksgiving dinner and you go, yeah, remember that one time I told you this? Well, I was really not there. I was really doing this, and you know, and I survived it, and you so kind of give those surprise things later down the life, and then mm-hmm. and at times it's funny. You know, and so I think
they can't ground you anymore.
They can't ground me anymore, you know, and so they're like, yeah, well, that sounds like something stupid. But you know, so those things we're robbing our children of autonomy and problem solving. Mm-hmm. By knowing where they are all the time.
So what you're talking about is mindful parenting.
Mindful parenting. Mm-hmm. You know, and another example of that is, I love my mother-in-law, Hattie, I love you. But she gave me a police scanner one time as a thank you gift. And I'm like, okay. And she said, so you'll know where your kids are all the time or something happens. And I'm like, oh, no. I do not want to know. We've set up guidelines. The rule is you are where you say you're supposed to be, and you're with who you're supposed to be with, so that if I do hear on the news that there's a shooting at the mall, mm-hmm. and I think you're at the mall, then I can be scared to death. But if I know that you're at the party out on Twin Bridge Road, mm-hmm. Who cares? You know, and so I don't want to know 24/7. I don't want instant information, because then it throws you into a panic. So you can see where your son is, and you might hear something. I don't know. I think that we should give them a little bit more freedom.
So you said it throws you into a panic, and I think that is probably a lot of our anxiety too, is just having that instant notification of all the time. And if we don't have it, if we don't have that feedback, then mm-hmm. we become anxious. Oh my mm-hmm. God, something's happened, because we're inundated with all of this negative information all the time.
Because we now have it at our fingertips, and so we are being conditioned in the society in which we live to have instant information, instant gratification, instant notification. I have no notifications on my phone. I get text message notifications, mm-hmm. but I don't know any other notifications. And so if I'm not responding to you people, it's because I don't need to be notified immediately that you're wanting me, because that sends me into a panic. Mm-hmm. So the other thing, though, with parenting, So then you're not relaxing and enjoying your life either, because you're constantly worried about Absolutely. Where your child is. So then you're also, if your child is out with their friends having a good time doing what they do as kids, mm-hmm. and you have given them guidelines, and I prefer broad guidelines, then you're actually robbing yourself of time with your wife.
I do that. I agree with that. We have it's not so much. See, this is the thing I like about Life 360 is that once we know he's there, we don't care. Once, like, he goes to my mom's, it's a hour long drive down I-70, and I have, because my mom's car is old, and I just have humongous anxiety about that. And then I have anxiety for the entire ride, and I check that app several times, way more times than I should. Yes. And then once he gets there, I move on with my day, my night, my life, because I know he's off the road. That's the, I hate our highway system. I hate other people in their cars.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
Jesse's that the same way. If he's at the firehouse, he won't go to bed until he knows that we're home from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, Wallace and I have this. I mean, particularly these last 2 weeks, I'm like, text me when you get there.
Yeah.
And then if he doesn't text me with an amount of time, then I'm calling him and saying, are you there? And he's like, oh, you know, I got hit the ground running. That's fine. But just text me when you get there.
Yeah.
So, but I know if I had the app, then I would actually be more anxious because I could see the whole time. Mm-hmm. So this way I'm giving you, I'm trusting you. I'm mm-hmm. sending you off with a prayer.
Yeah. That's all you're doing is praying.
I'm sending you off with a prayer. Yeah. I'm sending you off with whatever, and then check back in with me. So, mm-hmm. try to turn it off and see, be mindful of how it makes you feel and how you can work through that. Because why is the anxiety? Again, so being mindful about even those things about what is increasing your fear. So
The news. All of the bad shit that we hear all the time.
Yes. And so you only hear about all of the auto accidents out there. You don't hear about all of the fun shit that happened at the mm-hmm. parties when the kids didn't go where they said they were going to go, or those kind of things. And so, again, I think we really are robbing them of their independence, and we're increasing our own anxiety having to be hovering them all of the time.
But we're also too exposed to all of that media all of the time, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be via social media, actually turning on the TV and getting the news, going on the computer and getting the news.
Well, even if you're not trying to get your news off of the computer, every time I go to check my email, then you get all this stuff that comes up beforehand. And so you have to just kind of like get rid of it before mm-hmm. you can even check your email. So they're sneaking it in all the time. And so again, be mindful about that. You know,
what are you consuming?
And also, what is your mindset and when should you check your emails? You know, so I don't check my phone at certain times of day because I know if I do, it's going to trigger me to squirrel off and not go do this.
Respond.
Yeah. So you just be mindful about even when the habits that you do and how you do things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I read something once that said we are exposed to as much information, and I can't remember exactly. It was like in one day or maybe perhaps 1 week that our ancestors were in their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been a bigger number, like maybe in a month we get as much as they did in their life. And if you think about it, yes, in one day, how much information do we get? And 100 years ago...
I don't want to think about it because it makes my right eye twitch.
To think about all of that information you've even gotten today. And they got the news once a week. And they talked to their neighbors when they went to church on Sunday and did their shopping on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And otherwise,
the barbershops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think we've created a lot of stress. I don't love that word, but a lot of that angst that we have as our culture and a lot of our anxiety by all of that data that we are constantly
inundated
with.
And the ancestors, they got data go back to the small steps. They got little bits of information at a time. So literally, last night, I was sitting trying to deal with Spectrum. So I'm trying to deal with that. In the meantime, I'm actually getting texts from three different people about three pretty traumatic things. Illness, hospitalization. So, you know, not only... So I can't even process the one... And I have three going on at the same time while I'm also trying to process the information of dealing with getting my Spectrum fixed. And so think about that too. So you're sitting down at the TV or in a room where the music is on. So you're getting the commercials in the background with that information and being told as you're looking on your cell phone at the same time and you're paying attention to Facebook or a podcast or whatever. And then you get a text. And so we have it's compound mm-hmm. information for all sure. at once. And then we wonder why we are going crazy.
You don't just sit on the front porch in your rocking chair after you've read the newspaper and talk to your spouse or your neighbor about what you just read and process it.
Or you don't find out, you know, this morning that somebody in your family passed away or is sick. Mm-hmm. And then later in the afternoon, you find out about a fire on the country road over and they lost their barn.
And that there's been another school shooting.
And there's been another, you know, so you find that out yep. the 2 days later. But yep. now, obituaries is a good thing. You know, I open my social media the other day when I was walking down that hall, habit, mindful, unhabit, and 3 obituaries come up, and then talking to somebody, the next thing I know, then they come in with the cards in Centralia because they still do the obituary cards in Centralia. And so then it compounded that. And so it's a compound anxiety. Yeah. And so be mindful of that too, of where are you and how much external, how many different things are you getting at one time?
Mm-hmm. So I like what you just said about unhabit.
Yeah.
You said walking down the hall, looking at my phone, habit.
Yeah.
Unhabit. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. be mindful. What am I doing? I'm doing this automatically. Unhabit that.
Yeah.
You know, make it so it's not your habit. One of our activities that we do with one of the classes I taught last semester, we had the students budget their time or just track their time over a couple days and see where they were spending their time so they could minimize their time wasters. And one of the things that I learned was that I'm not very techno savvy. I would prefer to sit on the front porch and rock and read the newspaper. But there are timers setting that you can go in through the settings on your smartphones and limit your social media. And so that's something that I did. I went and limited it. You can also turn it off. So all of your apps shut down. So from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., all of my apps shut down. And you can override them. And my kids always wonder why I have those on there if I do override them. But at least it's that mental or that, I guess it's a mental or a visual cue that says, hey, you've spent this much time on it. You know, you need to, your time's up for the day.
Huh.
Yeah. So take advantage of those on your phone. And I think that does help.
There's not a lot of other things in your life that will come with that option.
So yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Right. You know,
a lot of our podcast today has been talking about social media because let's face it, it's the way of the world. It's the number one thing in the world.
Yeah. We're going to have to discuss eventually if we're going to do it, you know?
Yeah. But the other thing is, so when we're talking to you guys out there, other things that you think you need to be more mindful of. So not just the social media, what else do you guys think?
No, but I think, yeah. So sorry, not to, I'm happy to move on.
Yeah.
But I think that comes innately because it's the number one thing. We all have our phones. It's just kind of ends up sort of organically being at the top of
the
list.
I'm
going
to guess most of the people that are listening to us are in the same boat that we are because they're on their phone listening to our podcast, we hope. And so, but from a health standpoint, what are some other things that you would encourage people to be mindful of?
Yeah. So we talked about getting up in the morning and doing kind of a survey. Then we made it to the bathroom without our phones.
Mm-hmm.
So then let's maybe make it into the shower or the bath and see what happens.
Let's go into the mirror.
We haven't made it very far in our day and still have so much more to be mindful of. Join us next week when we look in the mirror.